Hello, friends, and welcome to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW here in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM, just outside Seattle in the United States. During the first hour, we had a fascinating interview with Barr McLennan. He's a former attorney with the Johnson administration here in the United States, but he quit his association with the Johnson administration after he learned how President Johnson and his associate, a fellow named Ed Clark, conspired to murder President Kennedy. He's written a book about it called Blood, Money, and Power, and I was so grateful to have him on. During this next hour, we will be interviewing who I consider one of the world's most foremost UFO researchers, Dr. Michael Sala, of his Exopolitics Institute, which he has on the beautiful big island of Hawaii. But before we go to this interview, I just want to thank everyone for listening today and give you updates on a couple of things coming up. First off, Out of This World Radio is supported entirely by donations, and your support is always appreciated. If you'd like to donate something, please go to our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on the donate button. The other as well is that you can also listen to the show live on the internet at www.1150kknw.com during the show from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And after the show, you can always listen to past shows at our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. Tomorrow, on Saturday, December 12th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., I will be giving readings at the Lavender Massage Shop in Friday Harbor in beautiful Lopez Island in the San Juan Islands. Part of the money collected from the readings will be donated to the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, which helps the children of Fukushima with cancer. For more information about their wonderful activities, please visit www.emotopeaceproject.net. They do wonderful work to help the children of Fukushima, and please support them. I wanted to tell everyone that I will be the keynote speaker at a wonderful spiritual conference in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, from January 1st through the 4th. I'll be giving a presentation on messages from Professor Albert Einstein, U.S. President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert F. Kennedy, Dr. Masaru Emoto, and Mahatma Gandhi, as well as the Galactic Alliance for Humanity in the New Year. I'll also be giving readings during the event. And for more information, please go to www.metaphysicalchapel.com, or you can call me toll-free here in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339, or my direct number is 509-750-9793. You can also send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And with that, we're very lucky. I brought Patrick on a little bit for the first hour. I'd like to bring him back. He is in town. His name's Patrick Finney, and he's the organizer of this wonderful spiritual conference in Florida. And he's also the producer for my new television show, which will be starting on February 14th, Valentine's Day in 2016, called Out of This World Television. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thank you. You said Patrick Finney, so I'll be Patrick Finney McCormick. That's good.
Oh, okay.
So thank you for having me, Ted. It's great to be here in the Seattle area.
Wonderful, wonderful. As far as our first shows will be on, the first show will be on the Emoto Peace Project, followed by messages from President Kennedy and other great spirits on the other side who really want to say to give messages on what they would be doing now if President Kennedy was still president.
Yeah, and so it's going to be. You're talking about your show now, so the one that's coming up is going to be, I think, a leading edge of spiritual consciousness as it integrates into this world to help remind people and bring in a sensibility that used to be a mainstay here, but people have kind of lost. Mm-hmm. So it's time to really start bringing that to the fore. And there's so many people that are ready for it because, you know, for instance, the new leaders are the musicians instead of the politicians, because why listen to people that are continuing to bring us in other paths? And then with the Alliance coming in, that really brings in a wonderful galactic picture that will have people understand the greater picture of Earth's place in the cosmos.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Patrick, how do people get more information about that? Is the conference, there's the website, I believe.
There's the metaphysicalchapel.com site that you can go for that conference, and that'll be from January 1st through 3rd, and it'll be a live broadcast that we'll be doing.
And if people are unable to come to Fort Lauderdale, is there an opportunity for them to listen by internet as well?
Yes, there'll be the conference line and also a webcast. I call it a telewebinar because you have the conference line and then the web technology. So it's time to also show people how they can do that for themselves. So that'll be a part of the event. So it'll be very nice to have the former leaders talking through you and giving their statements for 2016 and beyond for humanity. You know, it just feels really correct.
Wonderful. And the cost is not very much, is it?
Not at all. It's like $105 if you sign up for the attendance, physical attendance, and before the 29th. And then it's $75 for the whole broadcast weekend, which will be over 10 hours or more. And then after that, it goes up like $30 more or so. And so it's going to be really a nice opportunity to come together wherever you are in the world without even having to travel if you don't feel so inclined.
Sure.
To bring the energies, join them together, because we are the most powerful force on this planet as we wake up from the mortal slumber and realize that. And that's why I'm going to be bringing through Metatron and Cartron for the broadcast. And then, you know, if we bring in the world famous leaders, the Galactic Alliance, and then Rebecca Renee, she has this angelic presence that's out of this world. Literally, it's so big. When it comes in, it really cooks people in a nice a flaming angelic way. And then so when we combine all that together, we set a new tone for humanity, because we are choosing the reality that we want, not the ones that those I call them the marionettes of manipulation want to have us. We're not into fear anymore. It's time for the love to be the main foundation, and that's what you represent as well, Ted.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, so Cartron 1 on Facebook is the way till we get the website construction done for information, Cartron with a K. And then also then we have the metaphysicalchapel.com is the way that you can get a hold of that. And if you want to email, it's cartron999@gmail.com.
Or people can always email me as well as outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. And part of the monies that I receive also will be donated to the Emil Peace Project in Tokyo.
Yeah, you're going to be doing readings
right there.
And when you were at the UFO conference in Shasta, you did like 100 readings. And it was amazing the stamina that you had while working with this. Because what I've seen as far as you have an industrial strength connection with the other side. And I'm like, wow, he's good. And so my friend Rebecca and I were very impressed when we were there watching you on stage. Really let him have it with truth and love and wisdom.
Thank you. Thank you, Patrick, for those kind words. Well, that's where I met Patrick and his partner Rebecca. Wonderful people, and they'll be helping me produce my television show starting next year. So,
yeah, it's going to be quite something, because it's time for something other than 500 channels of the same thing, you know, something that will be leading edge. And it's not some spooky ghost story thing. It's time like this is what's really happening now that you guys are ready to hear it.
Right, right. Well, Patrick, thank you so much for coming on today.
Yes.
And really good to see you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and so I'll be doing this Northwest Psychic Fair. Tomorrow evening I'll have a broadcast for the 12:12. So you guys can find all that information on our Facebook page.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Patrick. And I think I've left my friend Dr. Sala waiting long enough. Michael, are you there?
I am indeed, Ted. Hi.
Okay. Aloha. 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 I'm sure it's a beautiful sunny day there in Hawaii, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on my show today.
Thank you, Ted. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you have a wonderful institute called Exopolitics there on the Big Island, and I think, in my opinion, you are one of the world's best UFO researchers. The one thing I like about you, Michael, is that you're always interested in the truth. You never fudge the truth. You just tell things how they are. And one of the things that you came up with recently was a story about Siemens, and they have their involvement in some labor camps on Mars. There's so many ways we could take this today, but I think I want to open the floor up for you to talk about anything you like.
Sure. Well, the case of Siemens is a very interesting one because Siemens historically was actually one of the companies. It's Europe's largest engineering firm. It employs over 300,000 people. So we're talking about a huge multinational corporation. During the Second World War, it actually did employ forced labor. It basically used them in some of its factories. So this was under the Nazi German government. And in 1998, the Siemens Corporation actually apologized for its use of slave labor and agreed to compensate victims of that policy. And it acknowledged that it had between 10 to 20,000 slave laborers at its factories during the Second World War, which, I mean, historically, it's kind of like one of these dark chapters in humanity's history. But what I found very, very interesting was that the Siemens Corporation was mentioned with regard to developing tracking chips in the early 1980s, which were basically manufactured in vast quantities, and we're talking billions of tracking chips. That was done by Siemens off the books, or done in a way where it actually set up a manufacturing company in Silicon Valley to create these tracking chips. And then after a year, the company just that it had set up just vanished, even though Siemens was the company in charge. It set up a kind of manufacturing plant, and after a year, that manufacturing plant was closed down in Silicon Valley. And what that meant was, well, you know, billions of these RFID very small tracking chips that can be used for, of course, you know, identifying where people are, where property is, for live animals, all those sorts of things. These were manufactured in those vast quantities and then basically hidden. And what happened was that there's a whistleblower from the Disclosure Project, William Paulek, who at the time was working in that industry, and he said that he was working with a colleague in the State Department who was trying to find out who it was that was behind the manufacturing of these chips. And you know, eventually they discovered that the Siemens Corporation was behind it. But in the process, one of the people that was assisting Bill Paulek in trying to find out who was behind manufacturing these chips and why, this person was basically killed in Nairobi, Kenya. In a way that William Paulek said was, you know, very indicative of a hit. So it was clear to him that whoever it was that was responsible for this, the Siemens Corporation, did not want the US government to find out why all of these billions of chips had been built, which in itself is very interesting. But then when we get to the testimony of Corey Good, the secret space program whistleblower, he says that there are slave colonies on Mars and the other parts of the solar system where forced labor is actually used for mining and manufacturing advanced technologies. So if Corey Good's testimony is accepted as accurate, and at this stage I think there's good reason why we should, then I think we have a very plausible explanation for why the Siemens Corporation built those billions of chips back in the early 1980s, that they're being used for people that are taken off-planet either as forced labor or as basically part of a kind of illicit slave trade. That is something that these major corporations like Siemens is a part of.
What's interesting, Michael, is that they didn't learn any lessons from World War II. In other words, they used forced labor in the Nazi slave labor camp system to produce their industrial products. Siemens did in Nazi Germany, World War II, and they've still been doing it today. Now it's off planet, though, apparently.
Yes, well, you know, that's the thing. It's like, well, they, you know, you say they didn't learn their lesson, but you know, what was the lesson that was learned here? That, you know, the use of slave labor is immoral and that the perpetrators of that will be punished.
Right.
But you know, what we know of the Second World War, the outcome of it, is not quite what people think. I mean, the assumption most people have is that, okay, Nazi Germany was defeated, and you had this thing called the Nuremberg War Crime Trial,
right?
And the perpetrators were punished. Well, in fact, what happened was that the real leaders behind these policies of Nazi Germany basically were able to escape, and even more disturbingly, these people, many of them actually were able to infiltrate at very high level the U.S. military-industrial complex after the war. You know, we know Operation Paperclip actually was a policy whereby, you know, thousands of German scientists were brought over.
Right.
But it was also Nazi spies, former Gestapo, former military intelligence people.
Right.
And there was also significant numbers of the Nazi SS that escaped the war. So because many of the leaders of Nazi Germany were able to escape, and they were the ones that put together these slave labor policies,
mm-hmm.
These were the very same people that were setting up the U.S. Space program,
right.
Both the classified military and also the civilian NASA,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, they were also part of a secret German space program that was operating out of Antarctica with bases on the Moon, Mars, and other planetoids in our solar system.
Right.
So they just continued these policies. They never stopped.
Right, right. And I guess it's not surprising that on November 25th, just before Thanksgiving, when most people weren't paying attention because of the holiday, our president, U.S. President Obama, signed legislation to protect these corporations from their crimes in space against humanity.
Well, that's right. There was a piece of legislation that was signed into law November 25th, and it's known as the Space Act, but Title 4 of the Space Act is a section that basically deals exclusively with space mining. And what it does is that it gives any corporation involved in space mining it gives them a breathing space of up to the year 2022 to develop the necessary safety standards and labor practices for conducting off-world mining operations. Now, you know, for most people, it's like, well, okay, well, that sounds fair enough because, you know, companies don't have mines in space yet, and the first space mines are projected to begin around 2025. So, you know, that sounds sensible. You have a few years to develop the necessary safety standards and labor practices so that when space mining is about to become a real thing, you know, that there are these standards in place. Well, the problem with that is that space mining is not something that is going to be conducted in the future or that it's just something that, you know, will happen within the next decade, but it's been secretly happening in these classified programs for, you know, as much as six decades.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That this has been going on, and that they've been using slave labor.
Wow.
And what that means is that under this legislation, any company which voluntarily submits to this bill, basically submits to U.S. Jurisdiction,
mm-hmm.
that means that they are protected under U.S. law from any kind of, quote, harmful interference. That's what the legislation refers to, any harmful interference regarding their practices or their policies. And of course, up until the year 2022, basically they have an opportunity to just kind of like put in place minimum standards so that by the year 2022, when this you know, when these standards are supposed to become effective, they can turn around and say, well, you know, these are the standards we have now, but everything that happened up until 2022 kind of gets historically lost. I mean, there's accountability,
nothing.
No transparency over what these companies have been doing on Mars or on the, you know, the asteroid belt and elsewhere in our solar system.
Right.
So, you know, the legislation really gives these companies amnesty.
Mm-hmm. Well, I, I think that the politicians who voted for this are immoral, and I think that they basically are condoning these crimes against humanity off planet. And for the record, I did a record check on who voted for it. Most of the House voted for it in Washington State here. All of our congressional representatives voted for it, except Jim McDermott. And Representative McDermott, thank you so much for voting against this Space Mining Act. As on the congressional side, every single one of the U.S. senators in the United States voted in favor of it, including our Senators Maria Cantwell and Senator Patty Murray from Washington here. Both Democrats both voted in favor of it. So, maybe in their defense they didn't realize the implications of this bill. That could be. But if you look at it from what you've said, Michael, it has some very serious implications for the companies. Let's say 5 years out, three to 5 years out, Michael, the information regarding how humans are treated in slave-like labor conditions on Mars comes out, and companies like Siemens or Boeing are implicated as part of that. They can always point to this law, saying, "Well, we're protected by this liability, and we're not going to pay anything. We're not going to do anything about it."
Well, that's exactly right, because the law actually has in place a number of clauses that basically prevent any kind of government oversight or any kind of government regulation over the company's policies with space mining, and also protects them from, as I mentioned, quote, harmful interference.
Right.
And so, you know, what does harmful interference mean?
Right.
It basically means that any organization that unduly tries to kind of like impede or do anything to that might be interpreted as basically hitting the bottom line of that company can be deemed to be harmful interference. So, for example, the International Criminal Court was to step in and say, well, you know, we've received complaints, so we've launched an investigation of this company's mining practices on Mars. Well, that company can turn around and submit to U.S. jurisdiction and say, well, under the Space Act, the U.S. law protects us from any kind of harmful interference and any government oversight. And so, therefore, you know, what you're trying to do is contrary to the law. And the Space Act says, well, you know, companies are free from any government regulation or harmful interference until 2022. So these companies say, well, you know, we've got until 2022 to keep doing what we're doing, and then we'll put in place something that people will consider to be kind of minimum labor standards.
Corey Good was on my show in September, and for those listeners who'd like to listen to his wonderful interview, please go to my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com and click on Past Guests. One of the things that Corey mentioned on the air, and I want to repeat it now to you, Michael, for your reaction, is that a family of four living in a slave labor camp on Mars currently has a space of about 250 feet. There are no private showers. There's a common dining area. I don't know what happens when people get old. I guess they must be eliminated, killed, whatever. But it's virtually like a slave labor camp up there, and they produce high-tech goods for companies like Boeing, like Siemens, for extraterrestrial trade with several thousand different extraterrestrial groups, and I guess it's been very profitable. I can't believe that our Congress and President Obama actually would condone such a horrible, horrible slave labor system on another planet. That if they know about it, they are as immoral as the legislation that they just enacted.
Well, you know, in their favor, I mean, they can always plead ignorance, and according to my research, the vast majority of members of Congress and even the executive branch of the presidency and even the military, many of the senior military figures, they simply aren't briefed about these programs. So mm-hmm. they really have no clue that this is going on.
Okay.
Kind of like that means that they can plead ignorance, but nevertheless, you know, there is evidence. There are these whistleblower claims that really need to be investigated. Now, you know, I did work in the human rights field for a number of years,
right?
And I went to places like East Timor and Kosovo and Sri Lanka where there were human rights abuses on a systematic level.
Right.
And often, you know, there wasn't much in the way of supporting documentation, but you always had people, you always had witnesses or whistleblowers basically saying that this was going on. And so the international community, through the efforts of organizations like Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch, they would conduct investigations and basically find out what was going on. So this is what we really need to do with the claims of whistleblowers like Corey Good and others like Randy Kramer.
Randy Kramer,
who also says that he was on Mars and witnessed things up there that were suggestive of this kind of policy going on.
Right.
That this really needs to be investigated seriously and not something that's just kind of laughed out of any kind of serious discussion.
I have to tell you, I grew up in Olympia, Washington, and I remember distinctly, Michael, in the 70s and 80s especially, on milk cartons, they would have these pictures of children who had been abducted. We don't know where they went. Many cases were just simply unsolved. Now we find out, according to Corey Good and Randy Kramer, that many people were abducted during that time and brought off planet. And there was an Corey Good said there was an actual slave trade that's been stopped now, but there was ongoing for decades a slave trade with the help of the interplanetary corporate conglomerate who would actually trade humans for technology and other goodies. Of course, I find this morally repugnant, and I'm sure many of the families who perhaps lost their children in the 1970s and 80s, not only in the United States but in other countries, would be very interested to see if their children might have ended up in some sort of Nazi-like slave labor camp on Mars.
Well, that's exactly right. There are millions of people over the last several decades that, you know, in the industrialized countries, have simply gone missing.
Right.
And, you know, let alone countries like India, Brazil, you know, with kind of millions of street kids, people that live off the streets, you know, that these people can be taken in vast numbers and hardly even noticed. And I believe that that has been going on.
Right.
But the thing is, I think one of the points that Corey did make was that the Galactics appreciated humans for a surprising reason, and that was that they appreciated humanity, even though, you know, many people make the assumption that, well, you know, these people that are taken off planet are going to be abused and basically mistreated and possibly even used as a food resource by certain groups like the Draco reptilians and so forth.
Right.
That according to Corey, the Galactics, many of them view humans as very talented, very creative, and excellent engineers and scientists. And I think part of that has to do with the kind of greater emotional range humans have.
Right.
That because our genetics have been kind of spliced with the genetics of many different ET races. We're talking about 22 different ET races.
22 other races.
That means that we have within us the capability of doing things that other extraterrestrial races can't, because our genetics allows us to display, you know, express abilities for advanced races like the Andromedans or the Arcturians or the Pleiadians or the Sirians.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that makes us kind of unique. And Alex Collier actually said that we are regarded as genetic royalty.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, so many of the Galactics see humans as kind of like a very precious commodity that can be used for very high-level purposes. And actually, there is kind of historical precedent for that.
Mm-hmm.
The Ottoman Empire, and Turkey's been in the news recently, but the Ottoman Empire, what it used to do was that it would actually abduct the children of European Christian families and take these children and basically move them through the bureaucracy of the Ottoman Empire, and these kids became very senior bureaucrats within the Ottoman Empire because they recognized that these are European Christian families, that their children, you know, were very talented, often had really kind of advanced, kind of let's say, kind of creative or expressive abilities, and which made them suitable for leadership positions. So I think in a way, the Galactics kind of view humans as having exceptional abilities, and so you know we are kind of you know it's a sad thing to say, but it's like humans are a very kind of precious commodity in this illicit slave trade.
You know, I've always thought, Michael, that we are powerful spiritual beings, and I know that I'd heard that our genetics actually came from 22 different other races. We have a human base, but we've been spliced over with so many other races. And the other races that we are considered, like you said, from Alex Collier, who was a contactee from the Andromeda civilization, that were genetic royalty, and we've got a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. And I think, turning it on a positive note, that eventually all these disclosures will come about, and that our government, our Congress even, and even our president will have to deal with it in a meaningful way. They won't be able to ignore it any longer.
Yes, I guess that's going to be the key, is what happens when we have disclosure. And the thing is, disclosure can manifest itself in many different ways. You know, we can have full disclosure, which is what all of us who have been working in this field for years now really want, which is all the truth comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably more likely that we're going to have at least at the beginning, a very limited disclosure, almost like something along the lines of, well, the SETI scientists have actually detected signals which are determined to be coming from some advanced race somewhere out there in the galaxy, and so the question of are we alone is finally being answered.
Right.
And that would be kind of like opening the door to kind of get humans ready for some of the bigger disclosures to come down the track. But I think eventually many people in Congress that have been passing laws that don't take into consideration the possibility of these classified programs doing things like we discussed in terms of using slave labor, that eventually they're going to start having to take that seriously, and they're going to have to pass laws or reevaluate laws that had been passed, such as this Space Mining Act.
Well, I have to tell you, I think there's the majority of people in the United States are really good people, and they want a bigger and better, much better future for not only ourselves but our entire planet. And once people are fully informed, I think they will demand that Congress act in a meaningful way to correct these abuses on Mars and invalidate the current space mining law that President Obama signed on November 25th, because that basically condones this slave trade on Mars. I mean, I don't think people, when they're fully informed, would ever agree to something like that.
Well, it's a very disturbing thing, but we need to keep in mind that kind of forced labor is something that happens on Earth at this very moment, and many countries kind of like are complicit in that. There's kind of like forced labor in China, or at least these sweatshops where it's kind of like, what's the difference between a sweatshop and kind of forced labor camp? The workers are still exploited. In places like India, you have indentured labor.
True.
In places like the Middle East, the United Arab Emirates and Qatar, workers that come from kind of Southeast Asian countries are also exploited, and it's kind of like, again, indistinguishable from forced labor, the way that these people are treated. So even on Earth now, we actually have kind of slave labor in existing in many countries, and the U.S. Congress and other major countries really have done very little to prevent that. So then if they're not stopping it on Earth, then you have to ask yourself, well, when they find out that there are colonies on Mars that have been doing this stuff, well, why would they suddenly say, oh, we've got to stop slave labor on Mars, but yet, slave labor as it's occurring in the Middle East, Qatar, and all of those places. I mean, they actually gave they awarded the World Cup of Soccer to Qatar, and Qatar is actually using slave labor. I mean, or anything. It's indistinguishable from slave labor in actually building stadiums that's going to be used for the 2022 World Cup.
Hmm. That's amazing. That's amazing. And you know, Michael, you've just made a really good point. If horrible working conditions and slave-like labor conditions are tolerated in some parts of this planet now, I can see where maybe some people think, hey, it's okay to have 7 million people in slave labor camps, Nazi-like camps on Mars.
Well, you know, well, people will basically say, well, you know, in terms of countries having jurisdiction, they'll say, well, it's not for us to intervene in their affairs, and there's international kind of organizations like the International Labour Organization or
right.
the International Criminal Court that mm-hmm. could kind of look at these things. But of course, they're very ineffective. The Human Rights Commission, the UN regulatory body that looks at human rights, I mean, that's also kind of very ineffective in regulating these things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what's going to be the difference when they discover this kind of stuff going on in Mars? You know, who's
mm-hmm.
who's going to intervene?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the international bodies that do kind of, that are set up to, you know, deal with these kinds of things, you know, they're kind of like paper. You know, I mean, they really don't have much in the way of real teeth. I mean, they can condemn countries, or maybe they can condemn corporations that are involved in this. But that's about as far as it goes. You know, the Human Rights Commission regularly condemns countries that are involved in, you know, things like the sex trade or abusing children. You know, this is, you know, every year they issue big reports detailing the different countries that are doing these sorts of things. But most of these countries just kind of keep on doing it year after year. And some of them are America's biggest allies. And, you know, countries like Saudi Arabia are regularly cited in these reports by the Human Rights Commission or
sure.
organized NGOs
sure.
like Amnesty
sure.
International and so
sure.
forth. So,
sure.
yeah, it's a big problem on Earth, and I think it's just going to get a lot bigger when people discover what's been happening on Mars. But I think, you know, when we become conscious of these things that are happening off-world and just the kind
mm-hmm.
of horror stories,
right.
then I think there's more chance that at least we're going to start getting our act together and start putting in place the kind of mechanisms, the international mechanisms, to kind of like really make sure that countries and corporations, especially, because, you know, these are the entities that are running these camps,
mm-hmm. right.
these slave labor camps or abusive facilities in space,
right.
to kind of like bring them to heel, to make them accountable. That's the important thing. So we have to do that.
And I have to tell you, too, I think the tide has turned against the elements on this planet who want to do negative things to humanity, and both on this planet as on Mars, too. And I think that these disclosures will come in the coming years, and they'll be brought to justice. One of the things that I wanted to talk about a little bit is you mentioned before that the Germans had been up, the Nazis had been up on Moon and Mars beginning in, I think, in the late 30s into the 40s. And I had heard that in the 1970s, the Nazi space program actually was meshed with our own secret space program. So basically, that's why you ended up with these draconian conditions on Mars, because part of it is that Nazi influence still there after World War II.
Well, that's right, yes. Basically, you actually had the Nazi element infiltrating the U.S. military-industrial complex.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it by placing their operatives in these very senior positions in corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And once the corporations basically began to take over these secret space programs, or began to take over the kind of infrastructure
mm-hmm.
that's necessary for these programs, that's when you had all the abuses,
right? Right.
Because the companies were run by Nazis, or at least kind of like just followed the policies that the Nazis had kind of set down.
Right, right. One of the things that also that, and I'd love to get your take on this too, Michael, is that Corey Good revealed that the Nazis had used nuclear weapons on Mars. for both excavation purposes and as a weapon against the native Martians encountered on the surface. That there's actually several different species of humans on the planet Mars, but what the Nazis had done is that they had discovered nests of native Martians or humans living on Mars, and they'd used these advanced nuclear, what they call a fifth generation of nuclear weapons, which designed to be of low yield and emit little radioactivity, so they could use the area later for bases, and that they ended up killing hundreds of thousands of Martians, humans living on Mars, still living there. There are some apparently remnants left of the Martians in the southern pole, but do you know much about that, Michael? What happened?
Well, yes. You actually did kind of mention that was something Corey Good revealed in one of his Cosmic Disclosure episodes,
right.
Where the use of these nuclear weapons was something that led to many of the native Martian nests being wiped out. You know, these Martian nests are presumably of kind of intelligent insectoid beings,
mm-hmm.
That had established hold over particular territories, that the Germans, when they first established their Mars colonies, found that they were having to battle with these indigenous Martians. And what I found interesting about Corey's revelation there was that they were very similar to Randy Kramer.
Oh yeah, right.
Randy said that he was actually stationed on Mars for 17 years, and he was part of a kind of an elite military unit that was under the control of the Mars Colony Corporation, which we can view that as kind of like a subsidiary of the interplanetary corporate conglomerate that Corey Good discusses. And basically what Randy said, his primary function for those 17 years on Mars was to basically do battle against these reptoids and these insectoids that were indigenous to Mars, or at the very least had been there for a long, long time.
Sure.
And so this kind of like military mercenaries, if you like, space marines, were out there kind of battling these kind of Martian insectoids and reptilians wherever they needed to kind of like establish a territory or protect a territory, especially when it came to the kind of mining and manufacturing of the Mars Colony Corporation. And so that's pretty consistent with what Corey said had happened with the Germans when they initially set up these colonies, because Randy Kramer said that, you know, he was on Mars from 1987 to the year 2007.
Mm-hmm.
But prior to that, the Germans really needed to establish a foothold on Mars, and they needed the help of the U.S. military-industrial complex to do that. And that's when they used these fifth-generation nuclear weapons to mm-hmm. kind of like clear certain territories of the insectoids or the reptilians, so that then they could go ahead and build their bases. And that is now the kind of infrastructure that's used by the interplanetary corporate conglomerate on Mars.
I met Randy Kramer at James Gillian's ranch in July of this year, Michael, and he was saying that I asked him what the human Martians look like, and he said they look like us, except they've got pointy ears. And Alex, another quote was that from Alex Collier. I was talking to him at Shasta, and he said that the indigenous humans living on Mars actually escaped from Mars when the planet Marduk blew up, and many of them came to Earth, and they came to Asia. They started their first civilization in China. This is a long time, hundreds of thousands of years ago. But it brings up, you know, we talked about human rights issues and immorality earlier. What right did the Germans have to destroy life on another planet, humans on another planet, for their own selfish purposes? What right does the interplanetary corporate conglomerate have to have up to 7 million people in slave-like labor conditions? What's the moral authority for these corporations to do what they're doing? And what right does the U.S. Congress and our president, President Obama, have? What moral authority did they have to let these corporations off the hook for their crimes against humanity?
Oh, well, good good questions, Ted. They have absolutely no moral authority to do any of these things.
Right.
They just follow the old kind of imperial impulse, which is, you know, might is right, or might makes right. You know, in Plato's Dialogues, there's a very famous discussion between Socrates and this Athenian called Thrasymachus that talks about, you know, what is justice? And according to Thrasymachus, justice is basically the dictates of the mighty.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is exactly the policy that the Germans followed, that if you go to, if you establish these colonies on Mars and you're more powerful than the indigenous peoples, then you just assert yourself over them and you assert your justice system, and history recognizes the victors, and you
right.
kind of set the history. So, you know, we might in the future kind of get a sanitized version of what happened on Mars
right.
from this kind of German secret society perspective, which is kind of like would making them out to be kind of like heroes, you
right.
know, pacifying or bringing order to a very kind of dangerous planet.
Well, I have to tell you, too, I'm sure the Native Americans here in North America have a similar perspective of people coming in, European settlers coming in to America and Canada, too, and Mexico, and slaughtering the Native populations. And, of course, that I don't, you know, a lot of treatment, a lot of Native Americans got horribly mistreated in the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries as a result of that.
Right, of course, and even here where I live in Hawaii, I mean, Hawaii was taken over. It was basically taken over by these wealthy American landowners who were a tiny minority of Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
Hawaiians back in the late 1800s, and basically launched a coup and replaced the legitimate Hawaiian government that was recognized by most of the international community at the time with a council of American businessmen who then basically got the United States under a kind of favorable administration to annex Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
And the Hawaiian people have been kind of subjected to this, kind of like cultural assimilation, if you like.
Right.
Basically, Hawaiian values and traditions were made to be kind of second class, and for many decades were kind of like banned, and Hawaiians had to kind of like follow American practices, and it continues to this day. I mean, the Hawaiian
yeah.
people are still very angry over the way in which their kingdom was taken over, and
mm-hmm.
You know, they're still very active.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I learned in India, living in India for several years, Michael, was that we are all children of God. We all have the spark of the creation within us. And since we are all children of God, we should learn to love each other and care for and respect each other with respect. And I think we're getting there. I know it's hard, but I think we're getting there. And I think once the disclosures are on the front page of, for example, the New York Times or the Seattle Times or the San Francisco Chronicle, or they're actually on Fox News or CNN and actual meaningful news stories about that, until that happens, we won't be able to really face the truth. But I think that day is coming, and it's coming soon. Many people are very tired of the mass media here in the United States, where they don't report news. A lot of it's just garbage. I think that the truth is coming out, and I want to thank you so much for doing that. And you've raised some interesting ethical and moral questions as well, you know, especially since, according to several sources, including Corey Good and Randy Kramer, that we have these slave labor camps on Mars where humans are terribly mistreated as part of a Nazi slave-like labor camp run by some of the biggest corporations here in America and Siemens in Germany. With no accountability whatsoever. But we have to look at our own planet, and we treat the way we treat people here as well. I guess it's the lesson is that we need to treat each other more with respect and love than we have. But I think that day's coming. People maybe call me an idealist, I think that day is coming, and I think we will have a much brighter future for all of us here.
I think so, too. I'm really hoping that with kind of disclosure and the discovery that we are part of a galaxy and of a universe that is teeming with life,
right,
that humanity can come together more and we can kind of develop that that empathy for one another so that we can kind of put an end to these abusive practices that the humanity has been kind of had foisted on it by their elites. And I think I'm really kind of very enthusiastic and optimistic that the alternative media and that kind of awakening that we are witnessing in radio shows like yours, Ted, which does a great job of bringing these kinds of issues to their listeners. You know, you are growing in terms of exposure and audience. Mm-hmm. And I think in the future, that's what's going to be the leading lights of this planetary transformation. So thank you.
Well, you know, Michael, I have to tell you, it's a cloudy day here in Seattle. There's dark clouds up ahead. It's getting dark. It's only like 5 to 4, but it's getting darker. And this entire studio has lit up in white light. So I know that we've got some beautiful angels here all cheering us on, cheering you on too for your wonderful work. And I have been in touch with, I think I've told you this before, with Nostradamus, Michel de Nostradamus, and President Kennedy on the other side. And they both told me that our future is in fact very bright, and that Nostradamus is rewriting actually the quatrains that he'd written earlier for World War III and lots of disasters. World War III is not going to happen. They're not the Galactic Alliance who visit this planet are helping us, and they're not going to let us commit suicide. As one example, after Fukushima 4.5 years ago, there was a huge plume of radioactive water coming to Seattle here on the West Coast, and I've talked about this before. And so about 1.5 years ago, when the radiation was due to hit Seattle, I went out and took water testing of the Pacific Ocean, and all the radiation had disappeared. And that's because the Galactic stepped in and cleaned it up, because they're not going to let us commit suicide. So I think, I think with the disclosures about these practices by private corporations on the Mars surface, we may get some attempts by Congress and President Obama to try to gloss things over and try to protect these corporations from their moral acts against and crimes against humanity. But ultimately, it's going to fail. If you wanted to be kind, maybe they don't know about what's happening off planet. I think they do, though, and I think they know a lot more than they let on.
I think that they, especially people in some of these leading positions in the intelligence committees and the defense committees, that I think they have an idea that there's far more happening, but they don't disclose that. But I'm very optimistic that the intervention of the Galactics, the rising of human consciousness, and the kind of spread of the alternative media, that we have a very bright future.
Absolutely. With that, Michael, I just want to say, I want you to give your closing remarks. We're going off. We got about 2 minutes left, but I want to thank everyone for listening today to this fascinating interview with Dr. Michael Sala from the Big Island in Hawaii. I've said this before, but in my opinion, Dr. Sala is, I think, one of the best UFO researchers in the world, because he's interested in the truth, and he comes up with some just fascinating things. 1 week from today, we'll be having a very special program dedicated to Fukushima and helping the children there, and it'll be on the Emoto Peace Project, and we hope to have some very famous guests on 1 week from today. And with that, I'd like to give the rest of the time to you, Michael, to wrap up your wonderful interview and say anything you like.
Well, thank you, Ted. If people want to learn more about my exopolitics research and the work I've been doing in bringing Corey Good's testimony out to the public arena, then you can go to my website, exopolitics.org. That's exopolitics.org, and there you'll find all these articles and also information about the book that I recently had published and brought out about Corey Good, called Insiders Reveal Secret Space Programs and Extraterrestrial Alliances. So you'll find a lot of the information about these programs and how they have been historically developed. So I want to, again, thank you, Ted, for giving me this opportunity to kind of share my information, and all the best. Aloha.
Thank you, Michael, and aloha to you too. And to everyone around the world, I hope you have a bright and happy weekend. And thank you so much for helping us to make this planet a much better and much happier place.